If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to a new episode of Healed Girl Era, the podcast with me, Gia Peppers. Rhapsody is such a special human being. She's a Grammy Award winning rapper from North Carolina, and she is back with a new album called Please Don't Cry. It's the first time that she's been this honest, this vulnerable, this authentic to her personal experiences and her personal healing journey. Before the album dropped, which again released on May 17th, rap is back, she came by the studio in LA to talk to me about the work it took for her to put down the industry's expectations of her and even her own expectations of perfection, and to pick up authenticity and the bravery that it took to show up in all that she has. Music is healing, as we know, and she allows us inside her healing journey, the things that she and her friends did, the conversation she was having, takes us back to the little girl era and more. I am so excited to share this conversation with you. And Rhapsody won't come back for a part 2, don't worry. But a new episode of Healed Girl Era, the podcast, starts now. What's up, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Healed Girl Era, the podcast. I'm Gia Peppers, and I am so honored to be talking to my sister, Grammy winner, back with a new album, back with a whole new vibe. Please help me welcome the one and only Rhapsody! We've been doing that all day. We also have a live studio audience for the first time ever. So if you hear a lot of clapping, just no, we didn't put a sound effect. There are people in here.
True.
And
make yourself known.
Yes. And one of those people is my sister, so you will probably hear a lot of woohoo. Rap, hi sis.
What's up, boo?
It's so good to see you.
It's good to see you too.
I'm like, we've been working on doing this interview for like 40,000 years.
Yep.
And we finally got here. But
everything has its timing.
Absolutely.
This is the
perfect
time.
Believe that. Yeah, so okay. One, how are you doing right now? Like, this is, you've been building up to this comeback. This rap is back. May 17th is around the corner.
It's coming so fast.
How are you feeling right now?
I tell everybody, this is the most peaceful I've ever felt.
Wow.
For any release of anything. Like.
Why you think that is? Because the work you've done?
The work, the personal work I've done.
Mm.
It's intentional, the healing.
Yeah.
I had to get to know who I was again. And be confident and stand in it.
Mm.
Because before, I you know, I'm confident, but at the same time, I wasn't sure. Mm. And, you know, I would lean on other people's ideas and thoughts and kind of put how I felt to the side, because he's like, I'm trying to get it right. What's the best decision, you know, for this outcome, mm. you know, to meet these false measurements? And now I really don't even care. It's just like, yo, I'm tired of, you know, trying to chase things that don't matter. Mm. So I'm just doing what feels good to me. And it feels really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like it feels good. Like,
am I glowing?
You're glowing, but it's not just that. It's even like how you radiate, even on socials. Like watching mm-hmm. how you post now is really dope to see not only the artistry and the intention you put behind that artistry, but the message that you have. Like, you've always had a message. You always give us message, and you always give us so much to remind ourselves of, like, our highest version. You're always mm-hmm. reminding people that, like, there is better for you. Keep searching. But it looks like you're like, oh, I know. Like, I might have been searching for that then. Now I know this, which is amazing to watch.
Yeah, I had to go through it and be okay with allowing people to see that I had challenges too. You know, it's not perfect. This is a whole process to even get there.
Yeah.
Right? And that was the whole intention, like, my friends told me, you have to show people you're not perfect, right? And I was like, man. And two, it was the question of where's the disconnect, right? Especially with women, right?
Come on.
I was like, you know, I connect with men, but I understand why. You know, the lyrical acrobat, whatever. But I was like, man, what am I missing? And it was like, you know, you're not human enough. Mm. For one, how I was rhyming before, you had to think. You got to love the lyricism and breaking it down sometimes to get the old stuff. And now it's just like, I want to connect with people. I want to work on being profound, being real, being human, and really lead that way. So
I love it. Okay, wait, I done messed up my whole show because I forgot to pray. I was so excited to get in here.
I forgot to pray.
I always start with a word of prayer.
I love that. Because
we're about to go through the eras, honey. It's Healed Girl era. We get through the eras, and the intention of this show and the intention of this whole thing is so that we go through these eras and we share what we learned, what our biggest lessons were, so that anyone journeying through a healing era can be reminded that they're not going through anything that no one else has gone through.
Exactly.
So that's the point of this. So let's start with a little word of prayer, and then let's get into these eras.
We holding hands?
Yes, let's hold hands.
Come on.
Amen. Everybody close your eyes. Live studio audience, amen. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, finally, for allowing my good sis Rhapsody to be on this show. We thank you for her life. We thank you for her light. We thank you for all of the ways that she's shown us how to just continue to show up as our greatest selves. We thank you for the work that you've done in her. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Let us be used in this moment for whatever this conversation is supposed to be. Anoint our minds, anoint our words, anoint this space and this time so that anyone who watches this gets exactly what they need to continue to live and be their best selves. God, thank you for the callings over our lives. Let us meet this moment in the fullness of our gifting. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. What a beautiful prayer. You prayed for me the last time I saw you.
I'm going to pray for my people.
I love that.
Yeah, we don't play about that.
I want to get better at that.
Oh, yeah. I'm learning. It's something new for me, too. Like, I'm trying to move when the Spirit says, like, oh, somebody needs prayer. Like, even if it's weird, even if someone's like, I just met you, too. Like, I'm not there yet, but I'm praying now for my friends who I know I see, like, oh, this is scary. I would need prayer. Let me pray.
I pray for everybody by myself.
Exactly.
But praying in front of people, I was like, mm-mm.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, there's no difference. Nothing will disconnect you. Like, it's not, you know, it's no difference. But if you feel called to, just try it one day. You never know. Mm-hmm. I'm just learning how to do it. Okay, so let's rewind to the little girl era. Baby Rhapsody, who is Marlena at this time.
Marlena, yes.
Marlena Evans.
Marlena, no middle name.
No middle name?
No middle name.
Hold up. Why don't you have a middle name, Marlena?
It's me and one of my other siblings. We don't have middle names.
Okay.
But my dad named me after Marlena Evans from Days of Our Lives.
Wow.
So he just kept it at that.
He said, ain't no middle name.
Ain't no middle name.
What did he like about this
character? I don't
know.
I was like, you watched the stories?
Right.
I don't know, but he liked the name. So that's who I was named after.
So Marlena Evans from Days of Our Lives. So you clearly come from people who know their stories.
Absolutely.
And know them well.
Yes.
What was life like for you? You grew up in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Snow Hill, North Carolina, the eastern part of North Carolina.
So what do you remember about little Marlena? What was your favorite part of your childhood? What was your childhood like?
Oh, man, where do you start?
Five. Start at five.
Okay. Five? I was so young. Then, you know, I was just outside playing all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm one of five kids, next to last.
Next to last.
I have a younger brother who's 13 months apart, so we're Irish twins, really, really close. And then I have three older sisters. One's 4 years older, 7 years older, and 10 years older. Grew up in a two-parent home. I grew up a Jehovah's Witness. But at five, yo, I was playing Nintendo. I was messing with bugs with my brother, like, in the woods. We would go fishing at my grandmother's house. Like, those are the things I remember. And looking up to my older sisters and cousins, like, fond memories were, like, my cousin had the 92 Red Tracker. I thought that was so cool. You know, just riding around. We'd have family cookouts, you know. The older people would be in the house, but all the kids, they would be outside. The car doors open, playing, doing the butt.
Hey,
you know, I'm just, yeah, like, it. I had a real childhood, you know, going to the grocery store barefoot, you know, like, going to, they kept the library card, going to the library. I did all the childhood things. But I was quiet. I was shy growing up. Everybody's surprised that I grew up to be a rapper because I was so shy. And I asked my aunt one time who used to keep us, you know, back then, the family raised you. I was doing Eve, so I was interviewing her, and I asked, what was I like as a child? And she said, you were very quiet. She was like, I would always catch you. You would be playing with your toys, but you would be observing everything. And I was like, I'm still kind of like that.
Right. So you're doing what you're doing, but you're observant, and you speak when it matters.
Yeah, and I hung around all the boys. At that time, I was the youngest granddaughter. So I was with all the boys. I was a tomboy, you know.
And you played sports.
I played basketball.
Mm-hmm. Shooting guard, forward, point guard.
Point guard. One and two.
Okay.
Point and shooting guard.
So you was nice.
Yeah. Oh, handles, yeah. You know, the shooting was what it was. I could make it, but I wasn't like Steph Curry. No,
right, right.
But it was all about handles for me. So, yeah, I got into basketball because my dad took my brother to play, and we were so close, he said he wouldn't play if I didn't play. And I ended up being better than him.
So amazing.
So, yeah, like, I was a daddy's girl. Like, my dad played basketball. I would go watch him in the work league, play softball. Yeah. So I was, you know, I was just outside all
the time. I love that. That sounds a lot like my childhood growing up in D.C. and Maryland. Like, we was always outside, always on somebody's porch, because also with certain parts of DC, you couldn't really just be outside the streets like that. Like, you know, you got to be smart. But I remember, like, I played basketball up until the eighth grade. I had gotten in trouble a couple of times on the court because I had an anger thing.
Really?
I would just snap. Like, my sportsmanship was not there as a kid. Like, I used to just, so to put it in perspective, growing up in Chocolate City, my mother's a third generation Washingtonian. Okay. So she's full on DC all day, you know, queen of DC. But growing up, you know, to keep up with the Joneses, there were certain parts of the city that you went to. And then when you had some money, you might move out to Maryland. So we started to move out to Maryland. But my mom put us in like a very white, very small.
Oh, I got you.
Like
they didn't
K through eight experience. So I had grown up all of that time up until then being fully immersed in blackness. Like our pre-elementary school, our preschool was fully black. Like, and they were like black. Like, the first thing you're going to learn is Langston Hughes.
Come on.
You're going to know how to speak that. You speak at two. You speak. Don't act crazy like that. So I went to get to this white school, and that's when I realized I was a black child. Like, you don't know until somebody tells you. And that really showed up for me on the court. These little white girls would get all types of, we see how it is turning out lately with the college ball. But they would, Caitlin's amazing. But I'll say, like, I remember feeling that even on the court. Like, them just poking at me, no calls, no nothing. This one time, this white girl just punched me in my chest and nobody called it. When we got back down, she's going for a drive, like gets away with the layup. She's almost there and I pushed her into the...
I get it. No, I get it.
And I got in trouble. So I did that like twice. But we moved on. but my mom was fake mad, like, don't do that in front of these people.
You get in the car?
Just when I'm like,
don't let them do that to you. Especially them.
Right.
You know.
I know. In front of them people, we had to be like, oh, Gia, don't you do that. You know better than that. And then Like, yeah, because she tried to play you. And I'm like, so like that, I understand the being outside, the playing ball. There's so much just community around basketball. Learn a lot. Like, what about basketball did you learn that you put into your life as a creative? Because there's so much that shapes.
They mirror each other.
Exactly.
A lot of the things that I do work ethic wise are because of basketball. Mm. I played basketball since I was 7. And mostly black school. But it was, you know, first one to practice, last one to leave. And then I would stay in practice with the boys.
Wow.
So I'm in the studio. I'm the first one there, the last one to leave. And I'm competing with the boys. Like, what's up? Like, I didn't care about gender. It was just like, you can get it too.
Period.
Yeah. So I was, you know, MVP, captain. So I knew about leadership.
Yeah.
You know, when we doing suicides and you know, the center's always the slowest one.
Yeah, they are,
they got us running extra suicides, and then it's like, no, you run by yourself. So because I'm the captain, I run with you.
Wow.
So the same thing, like when I'm in the studio, when I was with Jamla, it was, you know, be a leader. Mm-hmm. You know, the younger ones that come up, show them the way. Mm. So, and teamwork. You know?
Yeah, no, it's really a team. Mm-hmm. Like, people only see you, but there's a lot that comes when you decide to be the leader in your career as an entertainer. And we'll get there, but I want to go to the era of when did Rapsody know? When did Rapsody get invented?
Oh, that person.
When did you know, like, ooh, Marlena has to be protected so Rapsody can shine? But when did you invent Rapsody?
Invent. That's different. I don't know if I invented her.
Mm.
I always looked at it as one and the same. Mm, they're just different pieces of me, right?
So let's get into it.
I knew I wanted to rap when I was young, like 5 or 6. But it wasn't realistic to me. I didn't know how to get in it, how to approach it. Where I'm from, it's like, I saw it on TV and that's where it existed to me. So let me think. I started writing poetry first in middle school because I came from a house where, you know, my mom worked 8 hours, but she would get up in the morning, get us ready to school, come home, cook, clean. That having conversations and how you feel, and nobody has time for that.
Amen.
You know, she's hanging on by a string. That's what I'm learning in my old age. So I communicated through writing, you know, and that's where I started to write. So it was a safe place for me always. Mm. But I think not until college, it was like, okay, I'm ready to introduce that part of me, you know.
To the world.
Not to the world. At least to my friends in the world, but not the family.
Got it.
That took a long time because they just didn't understand it where I was from. And parents, they want to make sure that you are taken care of and that you will. And anything they don't understand, I didn't even feel like trying to explain it, right? Yeah. So I would just do it with me and my friends, and it was the most me that I ever felt. You know, outside of playing basketball, it was the most me and the way that I got to really express myself. Because I was terrible at communicating, but I'll write all day. Mm. When my mom, when I did something I got in trouble for, I would write her letters and say I'm sorry. Because it was too emotional for me to go up and say it to her in her face, so I had to write it. But it wasn't until college. I was like 22, 23 when I was like stepping in the booth and doing shows. And I remember the first show my family came to. They were like, when you get on stage, you turn into a different person.
Wow.
You know, and to me, I'm like, it's the same person. It's just, I just never showed it because I just grew up in a family where, you know, we didn't showboat. It was always, you know, grew up Jehovah's Witness.
Yes. Yep.
And Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't care about none of that flashy thing, no ego, like, and that's what it was. Mm. So, you know, I was shy, but on stage, that was the most free in me, I felt. So I don't think I really invented her. I introduced her.
Mm.
Yeah.
So she was always there.
Yeah.
And then you were like, this needs to be shared with the world.
Yeah.
I love that. So you grew up Jehovah's Witness. My whole one side of my family is Jehovah's Witness. So I know a lot about the belief, the faith, the systems, the ways that you probably wouldn't be able to move it as a singer in a rapper in that era as a baby in the way that you really wanted to. So you probably were like, I mean, I can't really
show that the bravado of what a rapper could be in that time.
I was okay because I didn't get baptized.
Oh, okay. So you grew up, but you was like,
my mama told me, you know, after, you know, I was doing more music and, you know, I was cursing.
All the things, out. Right.
And she laughed. She was like, I know why you didn't get baptized. You knew you was going to sin. I said, absolutely. You are absolutely right. Because I had a great balance, right? Yeah. Me and my dad talked about it maybe last year. And to hear his perspective was really dope. Because I didn't see it that way growing up, but to see it from his perspective. But my mom was Jehovah's Witness, all her sisters, most of her brothers, but my dad was non-denominational. So I had cousins, it was both parents with Jehovah's Witness, and it was really strict. Like, you don't play extracurricular activities, you're not friends with anybody who's not in the Kingdom Hall. It was very controlling. I was talking to my cousin, he was like, man, I wish that, you know, we kind of grew up in your house, because he was like, we couldn't even eat Lucky Charms because the leprechaun was on the box. And it wasn't, it was like, we couldn't go to college because it was like, you ain't going to college. You're going to go and study the ministry, and you're going to go door to door, knock on them doors, and tell people the truth or whatever. But, you know, my mom tried to be like that. Like, they're not playing sports. My older sister went chilling. My dad was telling me, he was like, absolutely not. They're going to do all of those things. So she came around and we got to have that balance. Yeah. And when I saw, like, my cousins that would get baptized. And when you grow up and get out the house, you go buck wild because you're not exposed to nothing. So you like, I'm trying everything. And when you get baptized, you get this fellowship, which means at that time, things have changed a little now, but you can't communicate with your family. Mm-hmm. My family's super close. I was like, no, I'm good. I'll talk to God I sin. I'll apologize, repent. But no, absolutely not. So
I know all about it. And like you said, it definitely has changed a little bit and opened up a little bit, which is great to see. Because I do think that there's just like so much that you can experience and be exposed to in within the house that your parents can help you navigate at first, that you do need to experience with like people who are like, actually, don't do it that way. And this is why. And you don't know it if you don't know it.
It's crazy. Like, they tell you things to navigate, but like the life things.
Yes.
I didn't have where I would go talk to my mom like, yo, what is this? Yeah. And how do I know? Tell her anything.
What about dad?
Absolutely not.
So you your journal was where you navigated.
My journal was where I navigated. If I want to find, like, I remember when the first time I asked my mom what sex was at like 5 or 6, and she was like, "It's when she talked kind of hard. Like, they almost scare you. Like, it's when a man get between your legs and he move back and forth, and you don't need to do that." I was like,
"Right? That sounds crazy. Like, what do you mean?
What is that?" Right. And I remember,
shout out to parents.
Then when I'm 19, I'm like 17, 18. We were going to the mall one time. I don't know how this conversation came up, but I was so uncomfortable. I think because I was in high school, and she was like, she needs to know more. She was like, out of nowhere, she was like, you should never put a dick in your mouth. That's nasty. And I'm just like,
well, we just go from 0 to 100 real quick.
Why are you talking to me about this? This is very uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? So we didn't have that. Even I have older sisters, but, you know, my Amanda, who is 4 years older than me, she was kind of out of the house by then, so I wasn't talking to her about things. And my older sister, Kenyatta, she was in college. Yeah. Like, it wasn't, you remember when Rudy went to stay with Denise?
Yes.
I always wanted that, but I never got that. So, you know, even my sisters, I was like, I internalize it, or those life things like that. You talk to your friends.
Yeah, which we all, the blind leading the blind. Yeah. But thank God we made it. Now, I do want to ask about, like, your rapping. Where did you never rap in front of anyone when you were a kid? Like you said.
No, absolutely not. I would play with my brother. Okay. Like, on days like Saturday mornings, we had to clean up. I would have, you know, we play music all the time. My mom cooked, she playing music. We cleaning up, playing music. Outside cutting grass, playing music. So I was cleaning up one day, and I think me and my brother had put something on. I grabbed the vacuum cleaner hose and started freestyling in it. He was like, you whack. And I never, ever, ever rapped in front of him again.
You're not whack now.
I ain't whack now.
That's amazing. Yo.
But, you know, when you grow up with siblings, you know, you get your tough skin from them. Because my brother's a jokester, and he's talked about everything about me. So,
yes. It's like, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's nothing that, like, your siblings haven't already fried you for it. That the world will.
Oh boy, he's still frying me to this day.
That's amazing. So you've done so much in your career now. I mean, touched every stage you could think of. You've gotten the illest flowers from the legends. Like, legends are your mentors. Like, you can text the people, which is like, I mean, the people who started this whole rap thing, which is so amazing. And now in this era, I heard you say you had to really put down what people thought in order to return to who you know you are.
Yeah.
When did that self-work start for you? When did that journey of coming back to Marlena Rhapsody, when did that start for you?
I think it started in 2019. Mm-hmm. But it was just pieces. Like, you know, I have a good friend named Raina Biddy. And
Raina.
Misa Hilton was a good friend. And Misa's a life coach.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Misa's a life coach, Renaissance woman, but she's amazing. So she would, like, give me tools here and there. And some things, like, I was like, I get it. Some things, it was harder for me to grasp.
Like what?
Just about consciousness and the power of the mind. And it was like, I got it, but I was like, I don't have it all the way. You know, I was still so programmed.
Yeah.
And then the pandemic happened, and I got to be alone, and the volume on everything else turned down, so you could really hear and feel things. And we're all by ourselves, so now you got to lean on you to do the work. You got to look in the mirror. So I read this book, Untamed, by Glennon Doyle. And I read that, and I was reading, you know, other things, and things just started to click and make sense. You know, I was having anxiety really bad one time. I was talking to Misa, and she was like, your mind is more powerful than you think. Like, nothing's really happening. It's all in your mind. I was like, nah, I think something's happening. You know, I got Graves' disease, thyroid issues. Like, she was like, it's all up here. And I don't know. It just clicked. Like, I had to learn to get control over it. And then you just go down this rabbit hole.
Yeah.
You know, same thing. Raina Biddy would text me things. We'd have really dope conversations. And 2019, 2020 was like the beginning of the journey.
And did you go to, you said Misa was kind of like your friend slash life coach slash stylist slash all the things.
Yes.
And then Raina, you had these amazing conversations. Mm-hmm. You're reading. Did you try therapy ever?
No.
And
I think everybody should. So it's still on my list.
Yes.
You know, I still think, you know, there's things that I still need other people's outside and professional help to really understand.
Sure.
But I had to do a lot of work. Sanaa Lathan was a big help too. Like, you get to a certain point and I'm like, okay, where do I go next? And I was working on a film with her. And
the Come Up.
On the come up. Yeah. And we met for the first time, I think the second or third day we were hanging in her Airbnb, and she was just opening up and sharing things, you know. And I was like, I was shocked, like, that she was so free, but it inspired me. And we would talk a lot about healing, right? And she was a big teacher, and she was like, Rap, I have this course for you. I want you to do it. And it was called, I forgot, because I'm going to say the wrong website.
Right.
But I started doing the coursework, and it was really about manifesting. So I wake up at 5 in the morning, work on this coursework for 2 hours. I take notes and everything. They had meditation. It was the first time I really, really meditated. And I go through how to manifest. But the third one was Unblocked Child.
Ooh, come on.
Right? And the meditation for that one began with, like, it was a guided meditation. First time I ever did guided meditation.
I love them.
At first, I was like, ooh, this is weird. But I stuck with it, right? Yeah. It's like you're flying through the sky. You go back and you land. And you're the youngest of yourself that you can remember. Boom, boom. And for me, in that moment, the first thing I thought about was why I'm a people pleaser, right? I had to peel back and understand where that started. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I learned that you're loved when you do things, right? Like, for people, it's like, oh, you're so nice. You're so sweet. So I associated that with love. So it's like, in order for me to get loved and be loved, I have to give, give. My mom is still like that to this day. Like, I have to tell her sometimes, like, you give so much, you have to allow people to give to you. And sure. She, like, absolutely, she's going to do her thing. So it's like, okay, it's all clicking in a different way now.
That's what we watched.
Yeah, and it wasn't even part of it. It was like, now call your mom and dad and ask your mom, like, what was pregnancy like, you know, for her? Did she have postpartum? Did, you know, was she excited? Like, it was all these things. So I called her and we had the conversation. It was so helpful into the next part of the journey.
And so she, you don't have to share if it's too much, but was it something that like you feel like was directly related to kind of your like childhood and some of those foundational just, moments? Know,
that part for me was not so much about me. It was for her and having more grace. You know what I'm saying? Like really looking, I was like, man, I got to look back and like, when your parents, you look at your parents like they're parents, but they were figuring it out along the way. Like nothing was perfect. And I got to stop like, dad, she had four kids, you know. My dad had another child earlier and, you know, a family of five. She had four kids. You know, they both have manual labor jobs. She's tiring. Working all the time. Like I got to see like how tired she was because it's funny. We laugh about it, but me and my brother 13 months apart. So when she found out she was pregnant, I was on her hip and she was like, my aunt asked to have me. And she was like, I told her, yeah. And you hear that? I was like, you gonna give me up? Now I'm her favorite. Let's be real. Period. But I was like, you gonna give me up, right?
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And she was like, yep. Wow. Your dad was like, absolutely not.
Not my child.
And you know, you grow up like, damn. But it's like, it's grace with that.
Yeah.
You know, my aunt still, she was like, I almost had you. And I love my aunt, but I'm happy I could. My dad.
Not almost magic. That is hilarious.
She reminds me of that almost every time I see her.
That's amazing.
But yeah, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of us who are going on journeys that our moms, dads, older generations haven't had the grace or the time to even go on. Like all that they went through is definitely what gave us this time to be able to be like, oh my God, what's wrong with my spirit? Like, spirit, they was like, bills. What you talking about? Bills, kids,
401k. Like, we don't have time.
And I feel like our, like, millennials, I think our greatest contribution to the fabric of the Black experience in this country is that we made healing less taboo. Like, yes. We're like, yes. No, we're going to talk about these feelings.
We're going to talk about these feelings. Are you
okay? Like, that's
what's
for real.
Really cool, though. Yeah. I have my dad to this day. They be arguing sometimes. I'd be like, yo, I'm trying to be the mediator. Yes. Y'all are not listening to each other.
You go.
Like, you have to give him grace. Yes. He just got off work. He's tired. He don't feel like cutting grass right now. And dad, like, you gotta be more patient with her.
I love that. Mom, life coach, mediator.
They don't be trying to hear none of that.
So yeah, they're still like, you're my child. So let's calm it down. And so you're now this album, Please Don't Cry, which is a very loaded statement because it's like, please don't cry. But then it also be like, please don't cry. Like, there's a lot of different ways you could say
fall
it.
In the when
you, exactly. Mm-hmm. What was, when you came up with that title, what was going on for you? Why is that the?
I was sad because I've gone through a breakup. But
no breakup sucked.
Oh man, it was terrible. I was such a sad baby. Oh. But it opens up that, like, what's really going on, right? Like, what is the need that was feeling that you feel like you can't feel yourself, right? So that's really where the work is. Like, you look in the mirror and you got to ask yourself, okay, great, sad that ended, but why are you so sad about it? You know, so it's a self thing. So I was on, because I didn't have the words to express how I was feeling at that moment. So I was on Pinterest looking for those poems. And I was like, yeah, that's how I feel. Pen saved, you know. And it was one, it said, no, please don't cry. You won't always feel so broken. And I was like, damn, that speaks to me. Like, please don't cry. Because I was crying a lot by myself. At the same time, I don't like to show emotion and like, you know, I was raised, what you crying for?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, so, like, you good.
Yeah, that was for me. So it was just a journey of, it's again, and allowing people to see that I'm human. Like, I'm having conversations. Raina, like, she texted me a bunch of questions we was having a conversation about it. I was like, it's so uncomfortable. She was like, you have to show people, like, what makes you mad? What makes you sad? Who do you have sex with? Da 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 da. And I'm just like, woo.
That's
like
a lot.
Yeah, yeah. For somebody that's private.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to know that. Enjoy these joints. But it's like
the music.
But then I had this, like, my favorite artists are the people that allow you to see them.
Yeah.
You know, you think about the things that they talk. I love Lauryn Hill. Zion is a very personal record. Tell Him is a very personal record. So it's like you have to go there. So it was like, please don't cry, but the whole album is out. You're like, no, you should be human. It's okay to cry. But the reasons that you cry, yeah, you're going to cry when you're sad, when you lose somebody, but you're going to cry when you're happy. You know, you're going to cry when you're joyful. You're going to cry when something's so funny, like tears rolling down your eyes. So experience life in the full spectrum of emotion. Like, that's the beautiful part of human, you know. We should feel those things. That's what living is about. I was telling a homie earlier, like, you can protect yourself and not love, but life is, you don't enjoy life so much.
Come on.
The beautiful, we were talking about the bravest thing you can do is love. Yeah. Because you know you're going to lose that person at some point. They're either going to leave you for a breakup or whatever, or they're going to pass away, because we all go through that. So you're going to lose everyone that you love at some point in life. So the bravest thing that you can do is love. Ooh. But that's what makes love, life, beautiful, that you know that feeling.
And you choose it anyway.
That's
amazing. I love that perspective. And I think that, like, that translates to every part of our life. Like, even our dreams.
Yeah.
Everything we want can happen, but it's going to come with a cost and a price and a ripping out of our hearts and a putting it back in and all the different things that come along with the journey of choosing to go after something that is not guaranteed.
Right.
Like, we don't really talk about that as much as we should, but there is real trauma in choosing this lifestyle. Like, to be like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to put everything into it. I don't know where checks are going to come from. I don't know if I'm going to make it, but I'm here.
You got to have faith.
And you got to have faith.
Like,
and it'll work out.
It always will.
But I think a lot of people give up because it's really hard.
If it was easy, everybody would do it.
Everybody would do it.
Yeah, like, But that's what makes you like, give it to me hard any day over easy. That's what builds the character. Mm. That's what allows me to look back and be like, damn, I'm proud of myself because I figured that out. Mm. Or I learned something, you know, like, give me the story.
Baby, you got a story, okay? and I always wanted to ask you this because, you know, we are in this rap era where everybody's so loud. Everybody got so many opinions about rap.
It's a lot of noise.
So much noise. It's wild that the word we even say, so many opinions about rap, which could be your name or it could just be the genre. So many opinions. It's true. And you address some of those on one of the records that I think is Asteroids. Mm-hmm. You address, or is it Stand Tall?
Both
of them. You're addressing, ways. Yes. Yeah. But I wanted to start with the reality that, like, when people think about, like, good rap, they're like, but y'all ain't supporting Rhapsody. And y'all say y'all want this, but Rhapsody does it. So Rhapsody, like, what does that feel like for you?
Oh, man. Every day on Twitter.
Yeah.
I search my name because I just like to see the conversation.
Oh, you're brave. Like, I would never.
I for me, I don't know why. It's just a study in how people think and behavior and I critical thinking because I'd be like, ooh, it's a lot lacking.
Amen. Just people, like, can't even spell no more. It's scary.
It's crazy. It's like the sentiment is like, yo, I appreciate the sentiment of what this is, but this isn't the way to go about it. You know, you don't have to use me. You know, if you like me, support me.
Right.
Why do we have to even talk about that? And for me too, it's like there's a place for everything, you know. Everybody deserves a space if they so choose, and if people like it and whatever, to tell their story and to be for whatever use that serves. I understand on the bigger grand scheme of things, on a mainstream level, and especially for us in our community, and especially for Black women, having only one image and message. I know what that does to us and that frequency. So, you know, it puts me sometimes in a hard position, I feel like, because sometimes I want to be like, yeah, like, we need more harmony, you know. But at the same time, I can't knock the other women down.
Exactly.
Like, I refuse to do that. So I'm just trying to figure out, how do you respect what they do, but also understand that there isn't harmony. Mm. Estelle told me to use harmony over balance.
Oh, because that's a good point. Shout out to Estelle, because she's always dropping gems. But I like harmony, because we'll never really achieve true balance.
Right.
You just prioritize what's necessary to do in the moment.
Right.
So the harmony of it all.
The harmony of it. It's tiring. It's like, yeah, we can have better conversations, and they can be done in better ways other than, like, she ain't that dope. You need to listen to Rhapsody. Mm. Like, bro, relax.
What do you hope the conversation is then? Instead of, she ain't that dope, listen to Rhapsody, what do you hope people start saying?
Yo, without even calling name, just, we need more variety. Mm. Like, yo, I can appreciate this. Because there's, again, I grew up and listened to everything. Yeah. But the thing about when I was growing up, everything had its place. Like, we knew what BET Uncut was for.
Sure,
you know what
did.
I'm saying? It was for a certain time and hour. And if you wanted to see, I stayed up and I would watch it sometimes.
The tip
sometimes,
drills and the kayaks and all
too
that.
Much. And then, you know, there was a place for other things. And there was, you know, some balance. So now that's the bigger conversation for me versus, like, pitting women against each other.
Yeah.
Because you don't do what I do, or, you know, and there's a conversation of Rhapsody's boring. Mm. She's whack. I can't turn up to that. Mm. I don't relate to that. I'm just like, you ain't listening. You don't have to. The one thing, I don't have expectation for people to like it.
Mm.
That's never, like, my whole thing is like, I just want people to listen, and you can decide if you like it or not. But don't just go off of what other people are saying.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
But you're not gonna like everything. You're not supposed to. I don't like everything. But I'm not mad, again, that there are a place for everybody.
Absolutely. And I think that there's a place and a time for every single part of rap and every single part of jazz and every single part of R&B. Like, why does it have to be this choice? And it's been that since music started. Like, you have to choose a side. You got to pick somebody. It's like, first of all,
I absolutely
love
don't.
Them all. Love them all. Need them all.
Yeah, I don't like to listen to me every day. you know, some days it's, that's the mood I'm in. And other days, like, get it, sexy. Get it, sexy. That's me, too. Period. Like, I am not this. I think people think because of the things I talk about and I care about and I rap about that, like, I've heard it, like, yo, she probably listen to only Burn Incense and something. I'm like, boy, I be in the club throwing it back, too. Like, I'm from Snow Hill, North Carolina. Okay. Like, you have to know what that is to understand, you know, the balance of who I am.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, like, there are times where I'll be like, yo, I would love to make a club joint, my version. But then I'm like, there's so much of that, and nobody's talking about this, so
do that.
This is where I need to be.
And so
that's my lane.
And if you did, it would be amazing, and then you could still have the rest of the album. That would be about what you want it to be about. Like, I'm ready for whenever you're ready, honey. Put it out next time. But I think that, but either way, what I think you provide in music is a real space for you to remember your humanity. I think we live in a time where, child, we so stressed and so distracted. And so much is always, like, asking for our attention that we forget that there is a whole, like, system and a person behind just who the world wants us to be.
Right.
And, like, the unpacking of that, that happened a lot for me during the pandemic, too. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of the things that I learned as a rebuttal or response to what people were telling me I should be. Like,
right.
I was like, you can't do news because you care too much about entertainment, but you can't be entertainment because you look more like news. And it was just like, yo, I'm sick of all y'all. I'm sick of all y'all.
I'ma just do what I wanna do. And who likes it, they like it. And it wins.
Either way.
Every time.
You gotta do what you are meant to do. And so, like, when you put down what people thought of you and picked up what you remember about yourself. Mm-hmm. What were some of those things that you were saying that you had to, like, put down, like, this is not me and this is me? What was that process for you like? Like, what were you saying to yourself mentally at that time?
Dad, what was that conversation? I don't know if it was a conversation or a realization. It just flowed out.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm working on this album, like, I'm pretty much by myself, right? I'm recording myself. There's no engineer. Like, I'm hitting people for beats. I'm working with different people. Like,
wow.
I'm thankful for what Guru and Ninth gave me. But it was like, I've learned so much. Now it's time for me to trust me and me to lay the foundation and lead the way. So I didn't even think about it. I threw paint at the wall because I started working on 3 albums at one time. I actually asked Rock. I was like, can I put 3 albums out in 1 year? And Sherry was like, absolutely not. I was like, why? She's like, rap.
That's a lot of work.
We got to give people time to live with the first one. I was like, oh, okay, I understand that. But I had so much to get out. And then I was like, yo, there's this side of me that I want people to know. But there's this side of me that I want people to know. And there's this other side of me that I want people to know. So I was like, I want to give it to them all in 1 year.
Mm.
And it's, you know.
It's too much.
So that's what it was. Yeah. It was just like, yo, who am I? And I just did it.
Okay, so who is Rhapsody? You said, who am I? Yep. Bring it down. Break it down.
Three.
You said you had 3 albums. What were the 3 albums about, honey? How did it come together? I want to know.
Well, there's this, the vulnerable side of Rhapsody, the very human and raw side. The it's intellectual, it's emotional. But then there's the fun side.
Mm.
There's the side where it's like, it reminds me of, again, how I grew up. You know, right around my little Honda, smoking on Black and Mild, but I really didn't know how to inhale, so I was just doing shit because I was cool, you know, drinking booze form, like, thinking that shit is cool, parking lot loitering, you know, like...
Just outside.
In the trailer park, hanging with the homies, like, it was...
That's what y'all was doing.
Yo, like, going to Greenville to two-step in the club, like I'm saying, like, we danced, like, hair used to be sweat out, like, you know, that was...
That's you.
That was a part of me too.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's the tomboy side where it's like, yo, there's that, you know, it's, I like sports. I like, you know, I'm competitive. You know, there's that side too.
And then there's the love side.
There's the love side.
And the, but you just, we're going through a breakup during that time.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you feel, what did you learn about love and yourself from that last breakup that you will try not to either do or experience in the next relationship?
I learned what unconditional love is, right? when you love someone unconditionally, you want them to be happy even if it's not without you. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You don't hold any grudges about, you know, you just want to see them happy however that looks. Yeah. That's unconditional love for me.
And that's hard.
Yeah. And that's not always easy to do because, you know, you're heartbroken. But if you really love somebody, you got to let them go, or whatever that is. So really understanding what unconditional love and means, what it means. And I had to learn to put myself first. You know, like that was one thing too. Yeah. I would still put myself second, you know, and again, trying to hold on to it. What are your needs, you know? And it's like, yo, put yourself first and ask yourself, what do you need, and focus on that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was those things.
That's amazing. That's a lot of work. I mean, that takes a lot of work. Like I remember Lauren London did an interview when Nipsey passed, or a year after Nipsey passed, and she was talking about, I think it was the one with Angie, and she was talking about how, like, some people can self-heal, and, like, therapy is not the only form of healing. Right. It's just a very effective form, and a lot of people learn a lot through that. And she said, you know, some people have the power to heal themselves, and it sounds like you have gone on many healing journeys alone through the safety of your journal, through the safety of music, through the safety of all of that. And so when you define self-love, because you said it's unconditional, is that how you approach the love to yourself? Like, you unconditionally love every part of Marlena, Rhapsody, Love a Girl, Sports Tomboy, all of that.
Yeah, I'm still working on that. Yeah. Like, it's still a process, but it's a lot better learning to love myself. You know, there's still some things that I feel myself reverting back to. I'll be like, hold up, nigga.
I'll be like, girl.
Let's not remember the work you did. Like, you know, so. But yeah, loving all parts of it. The imperfect things. Having grace with yourself is so very important. Like, be kind to yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself.
Yeah.
Because it was like, you know, almost perfectionism, you know. Even to, like, me and Sanaa were talking about even body imaging. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was like, yo, because I was like, yeah, I like being baggy, but yeah, I like dressing too, but I hide.
Me too.
You know, because it's like, you see these images so much of perfection, which are really unattainable in a natural way sometimes. And, you know, apps, you get squeezed. And I was never into that.
Me either.
You know, I was just like, you're just going to get me how I am. But at the same time, you're human. So. Yeah.
It starts to affect you, even if it's not consciously, like subconsciously. I'd be like, maybe I shouldn't get a little Botox. I mean, I say, I don't know what's going on there because I'm, you know, I'm getting older. But then I'm like, did my mama have to get Botox? I don't need no Botox. Like, you know, like, it's just like one of those things. Like, moving out here in LA, child. Ooh, child, you be thinking, you look crazy going out the door. And you're like, oh, she had 14 surgeries. That's why.
Okay. Well, never mind. But yeah, so it's that. And too, like, I think I said it in Ashore, it's like my greatest fear is rejection, right? And I find myself, especially, like, new people, I go back to shy and quiet. And I usually have to observe. I'm like, okay, how does this person work? Like, what jokes work? What don't? Like, you know, so I'm quiet and I don't really give a lot of myself. Instead of just, again, when you love yourself and you're just like, yo, this is just who I am. And take it and live it. Yeah. Yeah. But.
Where does that come from? Your fear of rejection? Do you know?
I got to onion that and peel back. I'm not sure yet.
And how do you talk yourself through it now that you know that it's there? Like, are you like, girl, who cares what they think? Because that's what I have to say to myself. I'm like, people are people. It's the same people. They put their pants on one leg at a time, just like me. If they don't like it, I can survive.
Yeah,
that's how I talk myself through it.
Still processing through that one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait to. I can't wait till you come back and we're like, well, this is how I know. Because I know that you already have all the tools that you need.
Yep.
And I feel like every time I see you, you get deeper and more brilliant and more yourself, which is amazing to watch.
You.
And this album, especially, like, when you talk about shining your light despite all of that and just watching you do it is a testament to the growth in itself. And so I know a lot of creatives are going to be watching this and, like, trying to figure out, how do you trust yourself in the midst of everything that happens when you are putting out a project? It gets hard. Like, you can be like, oh, well, this as a recovering perfectionist myself. Oh, well, this doesn't sound too good. I'm going to edit this again. And da, 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 da. And next thing you know, it's been 20 years and you haven't put an album because you're still editing it. What has the trusting yourself to find your voice and know what you want, what has that process been like for you?
Well, it's been a journey.
Yeah.
You know, it was just that, a process. Like in the beginning, I was so unsure and I would find myself going back to Guru and I would be like, can you listen to these? Like, what do you think?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, he would tell me his thoughts, but I would still have to go back and I had to listen to my gut. Mm. But this time I allow myself to listen to my gut. Like, what feels good? You can't worry about, you know, you get your advice, but you still have to go back and make the decision what feels good. I remember, because there's been so many versions of this album as I've been finishing it. And there was one time, you know, I had these songs and I sent them to Knife and I was like, you know, what you think? And I went to the studio and he had put it in track list order. He was like, I think this is this and this one. And he had another beat and I was like, okay. And normally in the past, I'd be like, bet, yeah. Right to that beat. And I went back. I was like, nah, this is not the story I want to tell, right? So I think I had just done so much work and been alone with myself so much. And I don't know. It was like, I don't care anymore. Yeah. And at the things I was reading, like, you know, Andy Warhol, my favorite quote, he was like, it's up to you to do the art. Mm. You put it out, let the people decide if it's good or bad while they're deciding you're on to the next. Mm. And that really stuck with me. Because I had to remind myself, like, you get so caught up in the business of it and these accolades, Grammys, Billboard, this single, that single. And at the end of the day, I'm just like, yo, when you unplug from all of that and the matrix and the illusion of it, it's just art. Mm. Like, it's really, shit be really that simple. It's just art. People are going to love it. People are going to hate it. Whatever. Make some more art.
Make some more
art. That's like, when you break it down like that, I was just like, yo, I've been, you know, when Andre was like, was I really just working too hard? Mm. And the Frank Ocean song is like, why are we working so hard? Yeah. When you just go in there and create something and put it out and you create some other stuff. Mm. And that's just what it was. I was like, nah, this is the story I want to tell. I was just so over it. I don't care. You know, I tell people when they listen, I was like, I want you to be honest about how you think. But at the end of the day, like, you know, I don't have an ego. Like, I'm still proud of what I created. Yeah. You're going to like it or not. That's but, you know.
That's amazing. That's an amazing place to get to. I'm proud of what I created. I don't care what you think. Yeah. I love what I did. And that's a confidence that takes a lot.
Yeah, and I know I'm still going to get better.
Yeah.
So it's like I still have stuff to look forward to.
Yes.
But it was a journey. Like, I would go back and forth, like, And after a while, it's just like,
just let it be.
Just let it be.
Singles that I've heard are amazing, so I'm ready to hear the whole album. So as we wrap this interview up, because I've just loved talking to you finally for the first time on a one-on-one on my show.
We almost done. That was fast.
I know, but girl, they said you
minutes.
Girl, they said you got a lot of things to do today, honey. She's bushy as pressed. but luckily we get to do this again. You know, the Please Don't Cry, that title, like you said, is so strong, it's so powerful, it's also so vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And the space between like where we are now and where we want to be is so sacred. And I talk to everybody that comes on the show about it. So for people who are in their era of showing more of their vulnerability and showing more of who they want to be, based on what you've learned, what's one thing that you would tell them? What's one lesson that you would want to share with them about becoming more vulnerable and taking off the fear of what comes with that?
I think the biggest thing for me is realizing that we all are human and we're all more alike than what people think. I've played this album now for a lot of people and there are some records, a couple records that are really, really personal and they were like, whatever. And I find that there's always somebody that comes up, several people like, I can relate to that. Mm. I went through that. Like, and it just made me even more, affirm even more that like, yeah, you know, everybody going through stuff. Mm. We're human. And that's what it is. Like, there's nobody perfect. So just be yourself.
I love this. Oh, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I give everybody their flowers. I have my amazing friend Chanel. She's gonna have to get around from this camera, honey. It's gonna be a second. But on everybody's, when people come on this show, I want to give them their flowers. And you know, it's so important that we continue to give each other flowers while we're here. And so these are some flowers for you. Thank you so much for coming on and being a part of this show. But also, just thank you for the way that you show up in this world. I know it's not easy. I know you carry a lot. I know you go through a lot. I know you deal with your own things, but you still show up. And it just reminds us to be human. Like, I put you on and I'll be like, let me remember my heart exists. Let me remember my mind actually has purpose, and that I can say things and do things with my voice. So I hope you know how much you matter to us, to me, to hip hop, to Black women, to the South, to the North, to the East, to the West, to the whole world. We love you.
I love you. So proud of you.
Congratulations on this new Please Don't Cry album. Rap is back.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
And thank you so much for being here, sis.
Thank you. Same sentiments to you. Like, since day one, you've always
been there.
Even like early on, I was like, what is the disconnect I have with Black women? Mm. Like, that used to always bother me. But like, you, one of the examples is like, rap. Nah, they out there.
Yeah.
You know,
and we love you.
I love you too. Yeah. Thank you.
So we're proud of you. Y'all make sure y'all go get that. Rap is back May 17th. Please Don't Cry. Anything you want to say before we rap to anybody watching?
I love you. Live your life to the fullest.
Period.
Walk in the light.
Yes.
Walk in the light.
I love that. Walk in the light. Make sure you guys, again, go get this album May 17th. Please Don't Cry. Rap is back. Y'all been asking for years. She saw the tweets. She saw things. She's back. Go stream that album. Thank you so much for being here at another episode of Healed Girl Era. Be sure to subscribe, to like, to rate. And if this interview gave you anything that you needed to hear and you think a friend needs to hear it, share it with your people. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Healed Girl Era, the podcast. Be sure to subscribe to be the first to hear our new episodes. And be sure to support Rhapsody's album. Y'all, it's so good. Especially stream that 3 a.m. with Erykah Badu. Y'all, it is just moving. But be sure to download and stream and support her new album, Please Don't Cry, available May 17th. Rhapsody is so, so amazing. And I want us to support her in all that she does. For again, that heart, that talent, that light in her is so real. And this album is a representation of that. And part two is coming, because once you hear the album like I did, you're going to want to ask some questions. So we're going to bring my good sis back. For now, have a beautiful rest of your day. Thanks for listening to Healed Girl Era, the podcast with me, Gia Peppers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.